Hi, this is Chloe. Welcome to Chloe's Friendship Circle, episode 27, Phones Are Fun, But Family Is Funner. And today we're going to have an interview with Randy Kaplan, and we're also going to talk about phones, and we're going to do an interview of a super cool movie, but it's a surprise for now. You can hear later on in the show, but here's a song on the phone on the toilet by Randy Kaplan because we're going to have his interview today.
Tuning. Alright. Last month, this kid Bob I know, he's 10 years old. I know, there aren't too many 10-year-old Bobs around nowadays. Anyway, we were talking about giving people the benefit of the doubt and how it's a good thing. And he told me all the stuff about his mom pertaining to the subject. And I thought I would relay it to you here. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna just go ahead and pretend I'm him for a few minutes. So sit tight, here we go, in Bob's own words, a story about his mom. She's on the phone on the toilet. She's on the toilet on the phone. She's never incommunicado. Sometimes I feel so all alone, all alone. My mom is always on a cell phone. There's no hyperbole at all. You can almost always reach her with an email, text, or call. You can follow her on Twitter. You can like her Facebook page. You can go ahead and friend her, even if you're half her age. Sometimes she's sitting there for hours, just like a bump on a log. She's either tweeting who knows what to who, or else she's updating her blog. She's like a hipstamatic expert. She's the queen of Instagram. They say she can't be beat at words with friends. Does she know who I even am? Last week she watched me playing baseball. Well, she mostly watched her phone. Don't think she saw me hit that double. Don't think she caught me stealing home. Too busy looking at the weather app, or maybe sending an IM. She doesn't comment on the poems I write. Does she even look at them? Sometimes I don't know where she's hiding, so I'll go searching for a sound. That's when I'll hear her muffled voice from where the water flushes down. She's on the phone on the toilet. She's on the toilet on the phone. She's never incommunicado. Sometimes I feel so alone. Once she took me to a Broadway play. They said, please turn off your phone. It felt so good to know I had her, that she was mine and mine alone. I couldn't wait for her reaction to the first act at its end. But when everyone was clapping, she was already pushing send. She talked and yapped and then she gossiped. She even laughed and chewed the fat. We didn't have one conversation after either of the acts. And on the way back to Long Island, she would take in all these calls. Like 50 times I had to listen to those few bars of Le Grand Vals. That's the song a ring is set to. Now I can chase it from my head. I'm like obsessive and compulsive. I wish it rang like this instead. Somehow she lost her cell phone. She was frantic and distressed. She dumped her dresser drawer out on the floor, and then she rifled through the mess. She ran out in a whirlwind, disconnected from the world. She said that she was gonna check the car, running like a little girl. But soon she left, I heard the ringtone. It sounded like a bleeding goat. I followed it into the laundry room, right to the pocket of her coat. I let it ring, cause if I picked it up, I'd get her makeup on my ear. And so I waited till the ringing stopped, then with a modicum of fear, I pressed down on the photo icon. Yeah, I went snooping just to see what my mom was snapping pictures of. Well, there were thousands there of me. One photograph of me on second base, and one of me stealing home. I read her blog and she'd been bragging that I'd written her a poem. Her tweets and blogs and texts and emails were as sweet can be. Her friends must be so sick and tired of hearing all about me. She's on the phone, on the toilet. She's on the toilet, on the phone. She's never incommunicom. I used to feel so all alone. She's on the phone, on the toilet. She's on the toilet, on the phone. She's never incommunicom. Now I know I'm not alone. I'm not alone.
Hi, this is Corey. Welcome back to Corey's Friendship Circle. And now we have an interview with Randy Kaplan. Hi.
Hi, Chloe. How you doing?
Good. And I have some questions. Can you answer them?
I sure can try.
Okay. And our first
I guess
one
that's
is...
a yes, right? That's a Randy Kaplan way of saying yes, I guess.
And our first question is, how did you start playing music?
How did I start playing music? I remember I was visiting my friend. We were 10 years old, my friend Howard, and he played this song called Stick Shift on a guitar. It's like a blues song, and I said, I want to do that. So my mom got his guitar teacher's name, and I started taking lessons, and I would make up songs. And then years later, I started making up even more songs and then started playing them at these coffee houses in Los Angeles, and it turned out to be the thing I do. So that's I continue doing that, writing songs and singing them for people.
And where does your friend live?
My friend Howard, we grew up together. He was my first friend. When I was born, I lived in an apartment in Queens, New York, with my folks, and he lived in an apartment down the hall with his folks. He was 6 months older than me. Now he lives in Los Angeles, and he's a painter, among other things, and he's still my friend. So he's my oldest friend, my first friend.
And now our second question is, what was your favorite song you ever wrote?
My favorite song I ever wrote. Wow. That's changed an awful lot over the years. Actually, from day to day, it sometimes changes. I would say, let's see. I'll narrow it down for myself. Out of all the songs I've written that are on my CDs that I call Not Just for Kids CDs, the ones that you know, I would say Know Nothing is one of my favorites. I wrote that song while I was singing at a preschool in Brooklyn over the course of several weeks. And it's always fun to sing, and I can't get away with doing a show without singing that one. I usually sing it last, and it's always fun to sing because it's a weird, crazy, rambling song that takes a circuitous route to who even knows if it's actually a conclusion, whatever happens in that song. You know that one about my cats and monkey, right?
Yes, I know that one.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
And our third question is, tell us the story of how you made up on the phone on the toilet, because our friend likes the song.
You want to know how I made that one up?
How?
That song was originally about my own mother. Now, I wasn't a kid when I wrote that song. I was an adult already when I wrote that song. And I put I only had to change it a little. It was about my own mother, and my own mother pretends that she doesn't like the song. Yet every time there's a family gathering, she winds up implying that I should play it, but that she's scandalized by it and I shouldn't play it. But she always manages to get me to play it. And then she's like, this is terrible. I don't do that. But she loves that it's about her. And then I met this little kid who had the same the same misgivings about seeing his mom always on the phone and not paying attention to him. So I said, hey, I have a song that fits you perfectly. All I got to do is change some of the details, and now it's about you, Bob. And that's that kid. So I think it struck a chord, and there's a lot of kids who probably like it because they like to make fun of their moms who are always on the phone. They're scared to not be on their cell phones, right?
Yeah, my family knows that song, and when it first came out, when the first recording came out, I liked Dad came down and he said the new Randy Kaplan song was out, and then he turned it on, and then I heard it on the radio, and then now we like that song.
Nice. I'm glad to hear it. That's a fun song. I better make sure I know that song I have a bunch of shows this summer, and I haven't sung it live. I don't think I ever sung the version that you hear on the radio to an audience. That was a song that was left off of A Jam on Rye, that my last CD, because my friends said, you shouldn't put this on the CD. It's like, I don't know, it's kind of dark and weird. And then I sent it to Mindy one day saying, what do you think of this? Like a year later, she's like, I like it. I'm going to play it. So good for her and good for me.
And our fourth question is, do you still do acting? I read that you were in plays.
Well, when I first lived in Los Angeles many years ago, I wanted to be an actor. So I did a lot of plays. I even did some commercials, and I was in a couple of movies and some TV shows too. I didn't act for a long time, but I wrote a musical with my friends about 5 years ago. Well, it's probably even longer now, 7 years ago. And we put it on at the Boulder Fringe Festival. And the guy who was playing one of the leads couldn't do it, so I had to step in at the last moment. And that was the last time. And it was nerve-wracking. It's much easier for me to stand up there with my guitar than to stand up there and act. So, no, it's not something I like to do anymore in a pure way. But singing is that kind of acting, too, right? You're acting your own song out.
Yeah.
I guess you could think of it like that. Yeah.
And do you have any favorite shows you were in?
Do I have what?
Any favorite shows you were in.
As an actor?
Yes.
Well, it's funny. I've been working with high school and middle school kids this year. And then, you know, they find out that I did acting, and they find all the old scenes online. So I once did this scene with Jennifer Aniston, and they made a TV show out of Ferris Bueller. And for years, every time the MTV or VH1 or whoever shows the Jennifer Aniston biopic, they always, for some reason, include this little clip of her in Ferris Bueller, the TV show, and it's the clip that I'm in. So, like, once a year, I would always get these calls from my old friends saying, we just saw you on VH1 with Jennifer Aniston. And then, so my students now find out that I'm in that, and they all, I looked for that clip online for years, and I couldn't find it, but of course, all the 13, 14, 15-year-olds find it in a second, and they all show me the clip. But my wife once sat next to Jennifer Aniston at a manicurist, and she called me and said, I'm sitting next to Jennifer Aniston. I said, ask her if she remembers me from Ferris Bueller. Well, she didn't remember me, but I remember her. Maybe I wouldn't if she didn't go on to be so famous. You know, I would have been like, oh, that girl who played the sister on Ferris Bueller. But yeah, that was a fun show to be on.
And our fifth question is, what was your favorite thing to study at the university?
Oh, now you're going to get me talking. I loved studying when I went to college. You know, I'm in grad school now even. It's a little late for me. I'm the oldest one in my class, but studying education now. But when I first started, I went to the University of Michigan, and I studied philosophy. Then I transferred to UCLA, and I changed my major to English literature. And of course, I love Shakespeare and Chaucer and all the everyone you could think of, all the famous guys. I also liked studying American poetry, modern poetry, like Wallace Stevens. That's all good stuff. You'll if you don't know it now, sit tight. You'll learn about it a few years down the road. It's very edifying, good stuff. What's your favorite thing, Chloe, to study?
Well, at school, we do like this thing to help us learn our phonics, and it's called foundations. Have you ever heard of that before?
foundation. I know the word, but I don't know how it applies to your particular situation. What is foundation?
Foundations is like it's like a learning thing that teaches people phonics and reading and my school does that.
Well, that's great, because that's the basis of everything, reading, right? It's like magic. You're looking at these little marks on a page, and you know the person who wrote its thoughts, right? It's kind of a magic thing, reading and writing. So keep studying that, and you'll be well on your way, I'd say.
And I'm actually the oldest level in my class, but I'm one of the smallest in my class.
Really? I was always the smallest in my class, Chloe. Always. I was in ninth grade, I was 4'9". That was the smallest one in my class, or the second smallest at least.
I'm second smallest also.
That's another thing we have in common. Second small. Yeah, well, you're probably gonna grow. How old are you now?
6.
Oh, you're definitely gonna grow a lot more. I don't know if I'm gonna grow anymore. I'm probably starting to shrink now. I don't know. But I'm trying to maintain my my towering height of 5'7". Yeah, I think it says 5'8" on my driver's license. I was fibbing that day. Yeah. So.
And
what are you doing? You got here. I understand you're going to soccer now.
I'm not going to soccer.
Oh, you're not going? It's raining. Oh, it must be raining there. My mother told me it was raining in Long Island. Probably the same weather as New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Sunny and hot here in Detroit. Now we're showing everyone that it's an exact day instead of being like out there in the cyber world where no weather exists. We're kind of like limiting ourselves now they know we're on planet Earth. We're talking about the weather. I guess there's weather on other planets too. We could be anywhere.
Yeah. And that was our last question, so thank you.
Thank you, Chloe. Nice to meet you. Hope to meet you in person. Someday.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye, Chloe.
I remember this one time when I was like 5 years old, my mom took me to a park to play. And I played on just about everything in that playground. I played on the swings and the seesaw and the tire and the sandbox. I climbed across the monkey bars and I went down the fire pole and climbed up the ladder and went down the slide a bunch of times. And after a while, my mom said, "Okay, Randy, we've been here long enough. I think it's time we head home now." And I said, "I don't want to go home. I only want to stay here and play in this playground all day." And my mom said, "5 more minutes." I said, 5 more minutes? That's not very much time at all. I better hurry up. I better put a move on. I better get it in gear. And so I climbed up the ladder and I went down the fire pole and I climbed up the ladder again and I went down the slide and I climbed across the monkey bars in the jungle gym and I got down and I went on the swing and I went on the seesaw again and then I went in that tire attached by 3 chains to a metal bar and I was spinning around and around so many times that when I got off I was really dizzy. I didn't know where I was and I tripped and I fell and I fell right into the sandbox and my head went right into the sand. And some dirt went into my eyes, and some pebbles went into my nose, and some leaves went into my mouth, and a little tiny bug crawled into my ear. And I stood up, and I was a little disoriented, and I wandered under the fountain. And all the dirt turned to mud, and it was dripping down my face, and down my clothes. And my mom said, "Look at you, you're a mess. We gotta go home right now, you gotta take a bath." And I said, "I don't want to go home and take a bath. I only want to stay and play in this playground all day." And my mom said, "You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, well, you might find you get what you need. And what you need, young man, is a bath. I mean, look at you. So we went home and, you know, I took a bath. And my mom helped me to wash the dirt and the mud and the leaves and the pebbles and the sand out of my eyes and my nose and my mouth. And she even helped me get the little bug out of my ear. And when I was all clean and the water went down the drain, she held out a big warm towel and she said, "Okay, Randy, it's time now to dry off and put on pajamas." And I said, "I don't want to dry off and put on pajamas. I only want to stay naked and wet." And I ran out of the bathroom and I ran across the kitchen and I ran across the living room and I jumped onto the couch and my mom said, "What are you doing? You're getting everything all wet." And I said, "I don't care. I just want to sit here on the couch and naked and wet and watch TV. Now turn it on." And my mother said, "You can't always get what you want." And I had to dry off and put on pajamas. "You can't always get what you want." And I had to clean up all the bathwater from the floor. "You can't always get what you want." And I wasn't allowed to watch TV for a whole day. But if you try sometimes, well, you just might find you get what you need. And what you need, young man, my mom said, is a nice, healthful dinner. And luckily, I prepared just that. You see, we had a lot of guests coming over that day for dinner. My grandma, my grandpa, my aunt and my uncle. My mom and dad were there. My little sister, of course. And also all of our pets. And my mom had made this, like, steamed vegetables, sautéed vegetables or something with, like, rice and quinoa and broccoli and spinach. There was also a giant salad, I remember, with like dark lettuce and kale and garbanzo beans and artichoke hearts and hearts of palms and some cucumbers and carrots and corn too. And everyone said, "Oh, this looks kind of healthy." And we all sat down and my mom said, "Bon appetit." And we all had, you know, glasses of nice, tall, room temperature water to drink. And we were all about to take our first bite. And I said, "I don't want this food. I only want ice cream for dinner." And my mom said, "Ice cream for dinner? You can't get ice cream for dinner. You'll get a bellyache. You've eaten nothing but sweets all day. You gotta have dark leafy greens and whole grains so that you grow up to be big and strong. You can't just have ice cream for dinner. Come on, get with it." And I said, "I don't care about growing up to be big and strong, and I am with it, and I only want ice cream, and I want it now." And my mom said, "You can't always get what you want." And my dad said, "You can't always get what you want." And my grandma said, "You can't always get what you want." And my grandpa said, "You can't always get what you want, Randall." And my aunt said,
"You can't always get what you want."
And my uncle, well, he was kind of like dozing off a little, but my aunt elbowed him in the ribs and he kind of woke up just a little bit and he looked at me and he said,
"You can't always get what you want."
And then my little sister, she couldn't talk at all. She was just a little baby in the high chair with a bib on, but she tried to talk. That's right, she said, but you know who could talk was our dog. And my dog came wandering into the room, wagging his tail, his tongue sticking out. He looked right at me and he said, Well, to add insult to injury, his friend the kitty cat came in. He must have taught her how to talk too. I didn't even know she could talk. And she kind of slinked into the kitchen and rubbed herself against the leg of my chair. And I reached down to pet her. I thought she was going to purr, but she said, Then, not far behind her, was our duck. That's right, he came waddling in from the living room. Duck looked right at me, he said, Then the snake came slithering in behind the duck. The snake must have gotten out of the tank somehow and slid up the table leg, stuck out his tongue at me and said, well, then the back door flew open. Who came in? That's right, the horse. Came right out of the stable in the back. Walked into the kitchen, reared up on his hind legs and whinnied a little. He got down, everyone was just staring at him, and then he said to me, you can't always get what you want. Well, now that the back door was open, the cow took this as an opportunity, and he came into the kitchen, the cow did, and she didn't spend much time in the kitchen, but she moseyed on in there. She looked at me very lazily, and she said, well, then we noticed the goldfish on the counter was trying to say something, like pressing his face up against the glass looking at us, and we saw his lips move, but we didn't hear him, but some bubbles came out of his mouth, and when the bubbles floated up to the surface and popped, well, then we heard what he was trying to say, and when the bubbles popped, we heard the fish say, and then everyone all together said, you can't always get what you want. Come on, sing it with me. You can't always get what you want. Adapt this as your first mantra. You can't always get what you want. Repeat it to yourselves often. You can't always get what you want. That's right, use it preemptively. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, well, you might find you get what you need.
Hi, this is Chloe. Welcome back to Chloe's Friendship Circle. And now we have our top five things to do on a phone and top five things to do without a phone. And here's some things. Go to your favorite website. Maybe there's new videos. Maybe there's new games. You can catch up and see whatever there is that's new. Phone, and they let you use it. Maybe you can do stuff, or play a game, or go on your favorite websites. So number two is play a game. Our third one is take pictures. They can help you find inspiration. And another way to find inspiration that you can make is make your own inspiration wallet. Just take bags and then, you know, like, put things that are inspiration in. I made one today before I did this episode. It's pretty cool. And I think it's perfect to help me hold inspiration. I should take it with me everywhere. And our fourth one is watch videos on YouTube or any place where you can watch videos or any app. You can watch whatever you want. Or you can even watch videos on your favorite websites. I love to watch videos on my favorite Little's Pet Shop website. So I like to do that. And you can. And our last one is FaceTime. Maybe you can catch up with old family or old friends to see what they're doing. And that's top five things to do on a phone. But now is top five things to do without the phone. You can make crafts. They help us. They get inspiration for you. Play outside. Maybe you want some fresh air. You can play outside with your brother, you can play outside with your sister, or have a friend come over and play with you, or just your mom and dad. You can eat food. Maybe you're hungry or thirsty. You can eat food. You can sing. Maybe if you want to make up a song, you can sing with your good. If you have an instrument, you can sing. And you can dance. It's fun to dance. Maybe all of you girls out there who are listening can go to dance class. I do too. And here's a song, A Wonderful Life, from Angry Birds before we tell about Angry Birds. That will be more fun.
Smile, there's a fire that ignites at the bottom of my heart. Ooh, me, oh my, if we open our eyes, I think we're both gonna find that it's a wonderful life. Ha!
Me, oh my, it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life with you by my side. Me, oh my, it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life.
Circle, and now we have a review for the movie Angry Birds, because that's the song you just played, and it was really good. And if you were to, and if you were going to tell a story to friends and family, you would probably say this story elements: it's character, setting, problem, solution, beginning, middle, end. Include your problem and solution in your beginning, middle, and end, so it's good. So you're good enough to tell about the story or movie that you watched. The characters were Red, Mighty Eagle, Chuck, Bomb, Terrence, and other birds, and pigs. And the setting was Pigtown, Mighty Eagle Hangout, and Bird Island, and the beginning was Red had to take an angry class because everybody thought his eyelashes made him look like he's angry, and then the pigs came and they used the slingshot, and they tried to shot Red's house down, and that's the problem. And then Chuck, Bomb, and Red went to visit the Mighty Eagle, and then they went, then they told the birds, and they want, and they all went to Pigtown together to see if you, to see if they would fix the house. And then they, then at the end, the solution was they made a new, all the birds and pigs made a new house for Red, or at least maybe the pigs didn't. And that's a review of the Angry Birds movie. If you catch it in theaters, maybe you'll see all these things happening. So, here, our next song is a little Pet Shop song. It's called Tail Ravin. Here it goes.
Yo! You ready to get this party kicking? It's gonna be off the hook. Yo, G, never give up. Time on the floor is what you love. Walking them moves, feel that groove. Come and get tricky with the rest of us. Nothing can stop you, nobody can. Making up moves as you roll that jam. Get on the floor more, getting down solo. Got so many moves you don't need to borrow. Go, bro.
Welcome back to Chloe's Friendship Circle, and here's our friendship pledge. Put your phone down and get outside, or wherever you like to go if you don't have a phone. And here, and let me tell you, this next song is dedicated to a person who really wants to see the movie of this song, but we'll play this song and a review of the movie once we see it. And the person is my mom. And she was convincing me to do it, but I said, I want to play another song. I want to play another song, but I said, fine, after. And now, here is the song, Can't Stop the Feeling by
Justin Timberlake.
Timberlake from Trolls. Bye.
Bye.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, lock the way we rock it. So don't stop. And under the lights when everything goes, nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close. When we move
pushing on. I don't need no reason, don't be control. I fly so high, no ceiling when I'm in my zone. Cause I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it, so don't stop. I can't stop the, I can't stop the feeling. Nothing I can see but you when you dance.